downtown Vancouver. This is the Christy Clark Show. Now, here is your host, Christy Clark.
What's the number one killer of British Columbians? It's not cancer, it's not heart disease, it is entirely preventable injuries. Dr. Ian Pike is with me. He's the director of the BC Injury Research and Prevention Unit. He also is part of a group that's just started called Community Against Preventable Injuries. Very nice to have you, Dr. Pike. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
How many British Columbians every year are killed as a result of preventable injuries?
Well, our data shows about 400,000 people are injured in British Columbia each year from entirely preventable injuries, and of those, some 1,200 will die. You know, numbers that are far too great for us to be comfortable with, particularly when we know from the research that 85-90% of those are entirely preventable.
400,000 people injured each year. Now, I'm guessing, Dr. Pike, that really spans the spectrum of very serious, obviously including people who die as a result, but also just slightly injured at the other end of it, right?
Well, it is those 400,000 is our estimate based upon people who are injured seriously enough to require medical attention. And so we're not counting the cuts and scrapes and bruises that might be treated at home or might be treated at another sort of walk-in facility. These are ones that are treated in emergency or require a night in hospital or, as you've mentioned, unfortunately die. So these are pretty serious.
And you say that's $4 billion in cost to the healthcare system, which is a remarkable number.
It is indeed. We know from our own data that about $2.5 billion of this comes directly from the healthcare system. Then, of course, there are additional costs assumed by WorkSafe BC and ICBC for work-related and driving-related injuries. And when those are added all in, it's about $4 billion in direct costs. And we have not gone to the extent, because there are a lot of assumptions in economic modeling that would say, well, what are the societal costs in addition to this? But I think you can be safe that it's at least double $4 billion in terms of the total cost of injuries.
The number one cause of injuries, Dr. Pike, I'm going to take a wild guess here. I'm betting it's related to car use, right?
It is indeed the number one injury, and of course resulting in many, many serious injuries and deaths from motor vehicle crashes and collisions, but also including pedestrian and cyclist and any sort of traffic road user, And we know, of course, just in the recent past, we've had reports almost daily in the newspaper of unfortunate circumstances. I'm thinking particularly a couple of weeks ago of a driver who crossed the center lane and to the other side of the road and struck three pedestrians and killed them. It's put down to the fact that he was so fatigued he fell asleep at the wheel.
And of course, and the second most likely cause of preventable injuries is, I guess, less predictable. You say it's sports injuries.
Well, we know that we have a tremendous number of sport and recreation-related injuries. Of course, these involve everything from high-risk activities, hiking, mountaineering, to the rather innocuous child riding their bicycle along the sidewalk or in the playground. All of these circumstances have risk, and I think what the community has come together to say is we want to raise the public's awareness of the risk involved in any of these activities and challenge them to think about what behaviors they need to undertake to mitigate that risk and to increase the safety, like wearing the prevention equipment and protective equipment, such as bicycle helmets.
You know, I noticed, Dr. Pike, anecdotally, and granted this is an anecdotal view, I see fewer people wearing helmets all the time. I just see fewer people wearing helmets now than I used to 5 or 10 years ago, and maybe that's just simply a result of the fact that more people are cycling now, so you're going to have more people who aren't serious about it, perhaps, and don't understand the risks to their safety. But it seems to me like it's becoming a bigger problem out there.
It certainly is a bigger problem. I mean, it's unfortunate as well. British Columbia was the first province in this country to pass bicycle helmet legislation. And I think because of that, there was a lot of awareness and people thought about the requirements, not only under the law, but for the safety fact, and wore helmets. Of course, it takes a lot of resource to keep the message in front of the people. It takes a lot of resource to enforce those regulations. And sometimes we need to give it a shot in the arm, and that's why Preventable is here, to try and rejuvenate people's awareness of the need to wear protective equipment like bicycle helmets. And certainly as government and other sort of entities that promote eco-friendly activities like cycling to work and cycling for fitness and health, they also need to pass along the safety messages that include, when you do cycle to work and do cycle for health, ensure that you don't get on that bicycle before putting your helmet on.
Now, I'm guessing that sports injuries are becoming a bigger problem, and I'm guessing that that's, again, because there are more people participating in sports as they get older, so our bodies are starting to become more fragile, but we're not necessarily respecting that change.
It is a problem. We know that, every time you promote physical activity, there is a concomitant increase in some of the sport and rec-related injuries. Typically, they're not too serious. They're not ones that we get overly concerned by. People can recover from those, like the strains and sprains that often go with that increased activity. What we're most concerned by, though, are the serious injuries, where people injure their head. They could suffer consequences that are lifelong. Certainly, we're concerned with contact sports like soccer, rugby, hockey, where the danger of concussion is very serious, and as we're learning, concussions can result in very serious lifelong consequences. We're also very concerned about physical activity amongst older individuals. Obviously, we promote it for good health and good bone strength and so on, and good balance and mobility. But there is a risk involved, and we ask people to think about mitigating the risk so that they don't slip and fall and end up with, in an older adult, a hip fracture can be just the long start of a slippery slope then. And of course, we don't want that to happen either.
Coming up next, we'll have more with Dr. Ian Pike. He's the director of the BC Injury Research and Prevention Unit. They're making a cause about going after the number one killer in British Columbia. That is preventable injuries. Coming up next, we'll talk about poisoning, drowning, major falls, work-related accidents, what you can do to try and keep yourself and your kids safe this summer. This is Christy Clark. You're on the Chorus Radio Network.